The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidley, everybody, as well, off his nice win on the Knicks last night, the NBA Cup, the Emirates NBA Cup.
That was nice,
year
man.
Year number three.
Greatest NBA Cup team ever. Bet on them every game. It's good.
We should have those discussions, those historical discussions. Who's the best NBA Cup team ever?
Hey, man, there's some good ones. Hey, real quick, Jalen Hurts or CJ Stroud? I'm playing this game all show. It's so fun. It's so fun.
That's a hard one to answer because Jalen Hurts has more under. You got to go Jalen Hurts.
You got to go Jalen Hurts.
Okay. Yeah. Man's won a Super Bowl, for God's sake.
Let's
put some respect on his name. This is Bees Bets. Bees Bets. Maybe the Dolphins are doing us a favor or doing this as a favor to Tua so he doesn't get hurt in a meaningless game. The Sheriff of Mars, trademark, he says. Oh, Sheriff of Mars, you must be new around here. I love when people do this. He goes, the Super Bowl quarterback narrative is too subject to survivorship bias. The Brady or rookie framing is the correct framing. Stafford was the king of the hall, very good until he won the Super Bowl. That post hoc thinking can't drive the analysis. Sheriff of Mars, you must be new around here. I've been saying this from well before, right? I've actually said this on this show for 8-9 years, and I've heard other shows grab it from us. And that is to say that even when Matthew Stafford, before he won the Super Bowl, what I said, and for those keen numbers game listeners, they will remember what I said was, look at Matthew Stafford's stats, even with Detroit, when he got traded before he won the Super Bowl, they were already borderline Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. It was going to be tough to keep him out anyway. So again, there's no post hoc thinking on this show. You can try again. Bees Bets. 6-hour podcast for Saturday college games is insane. You must never go out, Greg Peterson, on a Friday afternoon during the college hoop season. It was amazing how long his podcasts can get on college basketball Saturdays. Now, the question is, I should have asked him, does he game log them?
Oh, gosh.
Like, if I wanted to see, where's Elon St. Francis?
Right, or does he?
How do I find it?
Man, does he pay someone to do that?
Jeffrey S. DeVore. Wow. Greg Peterson's podcast lasting longer than Gil's dark-rimmed glasses from a couple weeks back. I got to bring those back.
Not even close, man.
I wore them on Thanksgiving. I'm going to wear them on Christmas.
Bring them back.
I'm just going to do them on holidays.
The holiday glasses.
Yeah, man. Too bishfot.
Bring them back. Bring them back. They looked okay. It's just going to take everybody a while to get used to it.
Sukkot. All them holidays.
The crew wasn't very supportive.
No, they weren't. Dell Mind the Gap Radio. Lead Major Steve Austin equals Greg Peterson. We have the capability. Greatest show open in the history of shows. $6 Million Man open.
Yeah, man. You loved that one.
Bro, I used to, when I was a kid,
I've heard Gil say this, I don't know how many times, like working with him now.
I used to go slow motion around my mom when I was a kid, and then I would stop, and then I would squint my eye, and I'd go, boop, 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 and my mom would be like, what are you doing? And I'd be like, Steve Austin, $6 million, man.
I always enjoyed busting spin moves around my mom. She'd be like in the kitchen, I'd be like, spin move!
Don's other friend, Frank. Tua is the quintessential one-read quarterback. He was able to execute the plays when the read was clear and he could make the throw in rhythm, but he doesn't seem to be able to get to the next read in the progression and is less likely to create a play due to the injuries. Well said. Beautiful analysis.
Tua or Caleb Williams?
I do this all show. I'm going to go.
None of these are easy, right? I don't think this is easy.
Tua by a hair at this point.
I think I'm with you.
Yeah, by a hair, but Caleb's getting there. Gary Burry, I don't know. Greg Peterson stinks, he says. How could he do that long of a podcast? Well, he's that amazing. That's how amazing he is.
I mean, seriously, I'd just be live streaming everything I did at this point if I was him. Yeah, like that's...
He's an amazing person.
What is he doing during baseball season then? He's doing the baseball pod and a college basketball pod every day?
He is
running. How does he have time to do anything?
When I say he's American treasure, I really mean it. Like, yeah. I don't know how I couldn't operate like he operates. It's incredible. It's incredible.
It's wild.
Defensive player of the year, NFL. Let's do a couple more of these and we'll get back to,
I like Myles Garrett here.
Gil. We'll sprinkle these throughout the rest of the show. Myles Garrett, defensive player of the year, -10,000. It's over. He is one sack because he got 1.5 sacks the other day.
Yep.
He's one sack shy of the shared record of TJ Watt and Michael Strahan of 22.5 sacks. Miles Garrett at 21.5. Katie bar the door. It is over.
They're just being jerks with these odds on these. Like, really? 28-1 on Benito and Will Anderson?
They'll take your money.
Yeah.
Also, defensive rookie of the year, Carson Schwesinger, -240. Not prohibitive favorite, but he is the favorite right now. Nick Imanwori is at +195. Everybody else is double digits.
A lot of rooting interest in this game tomorrow night. I know Danny will be watching because of that. He's got, what, you got 40-1 on Imanwori?
He got 40-1. On Imanwori or Schwesinger?
Yeah, Imanwori, yeah.
Okay.
Which I think this is a week. Like, Schwesinger's been the favorite now there for what, yeah, 4 or 5 weeks? I think it's just because of the lack of...
Aaron Schatz was like, yeah, I guess it's him.
Right, yeah. Like, and that's everybody, because all these pass rushers from this class have not really had great rookie seasons.
Let's just do this one more here. Offensive rookie of the year. Trevion is +185. Emeka Egbuka is +205. Teteroa McMillan's +250. And Jackson Dart is +550. Everybody, including Tyler Warren, has drifted. Although Tyler Shuck is lurking there at 25-1. But we talked about Tyler Shuck the other day. Tyler Shuck's stats are not as good as Jackson Dart's stats, as much as people want to make Tyler Shuck out to be a thing.
There's not. Drew's like dead serious, though. He's pretty sure he's in on this.
Yeah.
He thinks his defense is the Saints can win out. And if they do that and he keeps putting up numbers like they have been, he's live.
I do agree that this is Trevion right now as the favorite. I do agree with that number, but I will say this again. There are 3 games left. There is nobody who stands above the fray here that is reflected in the odds. Anybody can still take this in the last 3 games. If Emeka Egbuka has 3 monster games, it's over for him. Mm-hmm. If Trevion keeps doing what he's doing, it's his. If Teteroa McMillan has 2 big games in the games against the Bucks, it could be him. I don't think it's going to be Jackson Dart. I really don't.
I think it's likely one of those top three, Gil. Yeah. But I don't know that, like, we might be talking everybody on that left column down to RJ Harvey still being alive in this.
We have not gotten to the surprise category, in my opinion. We'll get to those. Okay. We'll get to those in a bit. In the meantime, let's do a little NFL whip around.
The guys check in on all the NFL line movement, injury updates, and give their thoughts on every game on the board. It's the Wednesday Whip Around.
Thank you, Ryan. Let's start with the showdown Thursday night between the Seahawks and the Ramifications. This is at Seattle. This has been bouncing back and forth. Again this morning, the Rams became the slight favorite. Now we're showing a pick 'em at circa. This has been bouncing back and forth between the Seahawks being a 1-point favorite, the Rams being a 1-point favorite. It's a coin flip. Total's 44. I don't have a play in it. If the Rams win, yeah, that number one seed is theirs to lose. If the Seahawks win, it brings a couple other teams into the fray as well. So we'll see in terms of the actual ramifications, not me joking around about the Rams name, but the actual ramifications of that could be very different if the Seahawks win.
Well,
I like the Rams here in this game.
You like the Rams, no bet, though? You
know, No bet. I think the Rams, let's put it this way. I shouldn't say it that way. I think the Rams are the better football team. It would not surprise me at all if the Seahawks won, though. Short week, at home.
Yeah.
Funny things happen.
Vision game.
And the number one seed, we cannot stress this enough, means so much not having to play that first game in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Yep. I bet the under here on open. I think some of the reason you've seen some of the Seahawks love and then also the under getting love is Davante Adams going to be out for this game. Sounds like it could be a couple weeks for Adams dealing with that hamstring injury. I think no surprise if you were watching that the other night. I'm with you, though. If I had to pick a side, it would be Rams. I don't think I'm going to be on it, but that's still the way I would lean. I think Sam Darnold and that Seahawks offense has been sputtering a little bit here recently. It's part of the reason why I bet the under. So, yeah, that's what I like. Even at 44, I bet at 46.5, but I even think at 44 would definitely be a heavy lean to the under for me.
Saturday doubleheader. For those not attending a wedding, you'll be able to watch this. Eagles at the Commanders. Eagles favored by 6.5. This has gotten high enough where I am considering the Commanders. I really am.
I don't know. I got nothing. No, absolutely nothing here. I think, you might as well just keep waiting.
Yeah.
Especially
no reason to go.
This time of year, right? Like this time of year, you get these Saturday games going in the NFL. People are sitting at home ready to bet. Like that public money can come in.
People ever watched an Eagles Washington game before? Have they ever won? I mean,
they won't care.
My buddy DJ Sly Bry, Brian Grayson, who's a huge Eagles fan, we literally send DMs after every one of these games like, there it is again. There it is again. Right? They're always close. Records be damned.
People will be sitting at home, though, with family ready to fire on stuff, and they'll be like, favorite. Give me favorite.
Huge Saturday night game. Packers to the Bears. Bears, 1-point dogs, the Micah Parsons-less Green Bay Packers. The Bears are 10-4. They sit atop the NFC North. This is for the lead in the NFC North. The Packers are 9-4-1. Boy, oh boy, the Bears still, not only are they looking at the NFC North, the Bears have an outside shot at a number one seed, too. I don't think it's going to happen, but I feel obligated to say that. By the way, do you know I got to show you this. Ever find a ticket and you're like, when did I make that bet?
Oh, well, maybe we got to save this. I always like doing this segment, the open bets that we forgot about or look terrible or great now.
I made a Bears to make the playoffs bet on November 5th at +155.
No, you made a Bears to miss them.
No, I didn't. I'll show it to you momentarily. To make at +155 when they beat the Bengals 47-42. And I didn't know anything about this until I was cleaning out my little billfold yesterday. I got to show it to you in a moment.
Okay, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Show that one to me.
I'm like, wait, when did I don't even remember making it.
I teased up the Bears.
By the way, the Bears could still miss the playoffs if they lose out because the Lions are lurking and the Bears have a really difficult schedule as well. You make any play in that game?
I teased up the Bears when it was 1.5. I teased them up, yeah.
All right, we'll do Sunday and Monday on the other side. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
College football playoffs kick off Friday. VSiN's got the guide you need to bet the postseason with confidence. Our college football playoff betting guide is out now. Features full previews of every first round game, CFP overview and insider breakdowns, best bets, custom brackets from VSiN experts, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, bowl picks across the VSiN network. You can buy the guide right now for $14.99 or upgrade to VSiN Pro and get the guide included plus full access to daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Get your guide now at VSiN.com/CFP. That's VSIN.com/CFP. My bad. It was to miss the playoffs. My Bears thing.
Yeah.
I misread it.
We both have that bet.
Because it does one of those things. Well, you make the playoffs and then casually it says no after. Yeah, yeah. Now, that's why when I looked at it yesterday, I'm like, when did I make this bet? I thought it'd be the opposite.
It was going to be way worse because I was waiting for us to hit commercial so we could talk that through. I was sitting over here thinking, I'm like, did Gil really make a to make and to miss?
I just made to miss. And I was like, what? Because I've never had that experience before where I was that confused on something. I'm like, when did I make this? No, it was the opposite.
Yeah, we were sitting here. It was one of those days we were going over the playoff picture and yes, no prices. And we saw like a +130 at DraftKings on them. And we were like, we like that price. And then I pulled up Circ and it was +155. We both bet it.
Martle J says Profit X pro tip with individuals posting aside and having things like jobs and responsibilities. They're stale numbers up with the Tua news at DraftKings. Cincy -5.5 was able to match liquidity at a great number. Cincy -3. At -132, they'll probably lose. He says on top of it. No, he's making a great point, though, right? On a peer-to-peer like ProfitX or any prediction market, right? But a peer-to-peer like ProfitX, there are people who are making offers.
Mm-hmm.
And like he said, they have jobs and responsibilities. They're not vigilant. They may not have heard the Tua news. The thing is still up there. Grab it. That is the peril, by the way. Also, the flip side of that is if you're one of those people who has jobs and responsibilities and has a life and isn't on top of the news like that, that is the peril. That's why live betting is tough on those things, too, because things you offer a live bet and things happen so quickly that before you can take it down, someone grabs it.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, 3JackH3131 Gil, do you not believe in the sanctity of a matrimonial ceremony on a bright winter weekend day? Is it Drake May's wedding? In the words of the Black Eyed Peas, where is the love? Went Black Eyed Peas. I can also go Donnie Hathaway, Roberta Flack, where is the love? But that's another story. Yeah, man. I think it takes a lot of chutzpah, a lot of moxie to do a December 20th wedding. But that's just me. I love the groom's parents. I love the groom.
So DraftKings, I don't know that you had any interest in this game at all. But like Bengals, Dolphins, what? This game opened to 1.5 on the Dolphins side, and we are at DraftKings, we're out to 5.5 on the Bengals. Phew.
So a 6-point difference between Tua Tagovailoa and Quinn Ewers.
How bad is Quinn Ewers?
Well, we don't know. We don't know the answer to that question. Michael Burns asking, what the blank are the Giants doing? Did you hear this report? Ryan Kramer reporting. Our own Ryan Kramer reporting. Well, he's not reporting it. Richard Johnson is reporting it. The Giants have requested to interview ESPN's Ryan Clark for their head coaching position. How about that?
No way.
That's what it's. That's the word. Richard Johnson, who is an NFL insider. At least that's what his Twitter handle says. Yeah, Ryan Clark, apparently. Is that true?
No, this is a fake account.
Oh, is it? Yeah. They're just faking around.
Yeah, the guy has 5,000 followers. And then his last tweet was about the Jets are expected to check in on Patrick Mahomes this offseason.
Okay, there you go. Never mind then. That's why you shouldn't do shows via Wikipedia either, by the way.
These things are the worst, though. Like, stop it. Stop it with the parody accounts. They're not funny.
It is amazing how you can get duped by stuff like that, though. Ryan Clark, who started his career with the Giants, right? So there was like some backup to it where you're like, huh, maybe.
Shoot, Danny, I got tricked by the same account twice this year.
Which one? You remember which?
It was whatever the fake Giants one is, because it was the Jameis news earlier in the season. Oh, I got all excited about it.
You really got it. Yeah, that's
and
right.
And then something else, yeah.
Blue Hen Bill, so I bet Jahad Campbell at 12-1 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year before the season started. He got in the first place for 1 week, then N'Kobe Dean came back from injury. They started moving Campbell around, and that, as they say, was that. Let's continue with a whip around. Bills at Browns. This is Sunday morning. Bills, 10-point favorites at the Browns. I have no play. Bills trying to win the AFC East. Outside shot at the number one seed. Brownies, well, Myles Garrett trying to get the record, I guess. 42 is the total here.
Well, this time of year, big enough spreads. I guess I can say this almost every week, but Bills, 10-point teaser option for you this week.
The one of the remaining 10 survivor entries got to go with the Bills. Who has the Bills? Yeah. The only guy who has the Bills available. And he said he is, by the way.
I'm actually kind of excited to watch that game. Like, the Bills defense has been so bad. Like, Shador, like.
Would it surprise you if the Bills put up a clunker?
Not at all.
Chargers at Cowboys. I am on the Chargers here. I bet the Chargers during guessing lines. +2 at Dallas. Dallas only mathematically still alive. The Chargers, by the way, 10-4, 2 games out of the AFC West lead. They are trying to secure a playoff berth, of course, and have an outside shot at the division and a number one seed. It should be noted.
Some movement on this game for sure the past couple days, too. We saw Chargers. Chargers took money early. That line was moving that way. And this morning, a lot more 2.5s back on the board on the Dallas side, which I'm a little confused about.
Interesting. I must be way higher on the Chargers defense than most people are. I love that defense. Okay, next. Also Sunday morning. This is the one that I think we've had more talk about this game than any other game this week. The Chiefs are down to a 3-point favorite at the Titans. It opened, 3.5, and I think it was 3.5 on Monday morning. No Patrick Mahomes, obviously. It's the Gardner Minshew games. 3 games to close out the season for the Chiefs that are meaningless, and they're not used to being in that position. A lot of Titans love this week. So much.
I get all of it. Gil, I guess this is the way I'll describe this game and myself when it comes to games like this and this time of year. Titans might be the sharp side. Too sharp for me.
Too sharp for me.
Too sharp for me.
Let me ask you a very insightful question on this game. Are the Titans, how can I put this, still the Titans?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I need to know. Bengals are 4-point favorites now at the Dolphins. So this again, from Tua to Quinn Ewers. Again, how is Zach Wilson feeling right now? He's like, really? You skipping me? Going to Quinn?
I think that makes sense.
I think it does from a Dolphins perspective, but maybe not from Zach's perspective.
No, yeah, probably not.
Bengals are 4-point favorites of the Dolphins. I want no part of this game.
And to be fair, I did bring up this before. 5.5 at DraftKings. Everywhere else is 4 or 4.5. So I don't really know.
If the Bengals, let me just put it this way. If the Bengals lose this game to Quinn Ewers and the Dolphins, like you may need to like give Joe Burrow some help. Mentally, after that press conference the other night, like that performance against the Ravens was so bad that you couldn't not tie the two events together. Jets at Saints. Saints might be messing up their draft position. They're 4.5-point favorites hosting the Jets. We'll get into worst team, or I should say most wins and fewest wins coming in. Tickets available at Caesar Superdome.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm
too.
I'm good here.
Next
side of total like
honestly, it's like, come on. Vikings at Giants is another one. Vikings are 3-point favorites on the road against the Giants. I could say the same about the Giants. Giants right now, on the clock, number one position in the NFL draft. Might they mess that up?
Man, I've been crushing McCarthy and this team for most of the year. Lean Vikings might be a millions play for me.
JJ, it might be a millions play for me. JJ McCarthy, even when people were down on him, like he had moments. Now, this game is for the top of the NFC South, pardon me. Top of the NFC South, 2-7-7 teams. The Bucs are 3-point favorites at Carolina. I already bet Carolina plus the 3 on Monday, guessing lines.
Yep. Chris Foster is just going to mute my mic now whenever it comes to Kelly's opinion on the Carolina Panthers in a football game and betting it. So, yeah. Yeah. No,
they're your kryptonite.
I'm staying far away.
Next. All right. This is, are we going to the late window? Are we in the late window now, I believe? Jaguars Bucks, which has.
Broncos.
Yeah. Jaguars Broncos, which has huge implications. Broncos right now inhabit the number one seed in the AFC. Jaguars on top in the AFC South. But everybody looking in their rear view, this is a monster game with the Broncos favored by 3 at Mile High.
Can't wait to watch it, Gil. Right, like dead serious. Can't wait to watch it. I think these are teams that you and I have been doubting, sleeping on perhaps most of the season. Let's see. Broncos are going to be out without safety Brandon Jones. He's hurt, so not good time to add.
Sleeping on was very dramatic. I don't know that we've been sleeping on them, but
I have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have two losses. Ask me how many times I've bet them.
Games. In that respect, for sure. But how about Falcons at Cardinals? Another game of like, what are you doing with this? Falcons 2.5-point road favorites. We had Oppo plays on this from guests yesterday.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. The only bet I could consider on this game is an over. It just with how the Cardinals have been going here recently. I think Brissett, I trust, but that defense is so injured and bad right now. It'd be over the only thing I would be considering.
Lions are 7-point favorites hosting the Steelers. Again, the Steelers could effectively lose their next two games. And if they beat the Ravens in the final game, they still will be AFC North champions.
Yeah.
Lions. The proverbial must win. They got to win out, the Detroit Lions, to get back into the playoffs.
Like the Lions here, Gil. I bet late to the 6.5 a couple times with the in this game already. Back inside for Detroit. I don't think Pittsburgh can keep up offensively.
And then the last afternoon game, Texans are 2-touchdown favorites hosting the Raiders. Texans a game behind the Jaguars.
I can't lay 14 points with Houston.
I can't either, but I can't take 14 either with the Raiders. Can't do anything with the Raiders. Coming back with Nick Whalen. We'll get to the primetime games next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We advise you to check out the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global bidding information. That's betting information, by the way. Alerts directly from the pros. Scan the QR code there for more information at sharpplays.com. Check them out. I just want to read this one tweet from primetime at Cowboys_Cubs1. Yo, hey, man. With all due respect, don't take this personally. It's not you. It's me. I much prefer when you bet against Dallas rather than betting on them. Enjoy that wedding this weekend. Peace, love, and yoga pants. I just got a text from Yoga Pants, by the way. He just texted me. Very nice text from Yoga Pants. Yeah, he's a Cowboys fan. I jinxed your team, baby. It was all by design. How do you lose to Minnesota? You know you have to win that game to get to the playoffs. What are you doing? Awful.
Hey, Gil.
Yes.
Jalen Hurts or Brock Purdy?
Brock Purdy.
Ooh, that's the quickest answer he's had so far. I'm having a lot of fun with this game.
I trust Brock Purdy more than I do Tua.
What about Jalen Hurts?
We already did Jalen Hurts.
Oh, okay.
I
was like, did you mishear me or
no? We went back to that. Money down bets. Best way to back the Texans versus Raiders is Texans to win with a shutout at 10-1 at DraftKings. If the Bengals can get the shutout, then I don't see why this can't happen. Oh, if the Bengals can get the shutout, I don't understand what tie-in.
I was confused.
Yeah, I'm
too.
Not sure either. Can we do the last two games before we get to Nick real quick? You want to do this?
Yeah.
All right, real quick. Sunday night game on the closing out the whip around. Sunday night game here in the National Football League.
Pats at Ravens,
which, again, the Ravens are 3-point favorites here against the Pats. Pats right now, one game ahead of the Bills in the AFC East. One game behind the Broncos for the number one seed. Ravens, one game behind the Steelers. Well, actually, 1.5 games one game behind the Steelers in the AFC North, one game. And remember, they do have a Steelers game looming, but they are in a position where they will have to overcome the Steelers. If they end up tied, advantage Steelers. So Ravens have got to win this football game. I have no play.
No faith in this Ravens offense whatsoever at this point. They just had another linebacker get hurt and will be out for the year. I teased up Patriots when it was at 2.5. It has moved to 3. I also took money line on open. I thought this was going to swing more New England's way than Baltimore.
And as if the NFL planned it, the Niners 6.5-point favorites at Old Man Rivers and the Indianapolis Colts on primetime Monday Night Football. Nothing here for me.
Ew, gross. I'm good. I think 49ers could be a money line parlay leg, but that's all I would consider.
And that was a lot of gross games for week 6. Let's talk to Nick Whalen from RotoWire. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, to talk some week 16 National Football League. Maybe we can squeeze a couple NBA plays out of him for tonight. Nick joins us right now from the North, where, of course, he's a Jacksonville Jaguars fan. We've established that. How you doing, Nick?
Doing great, guys. Still coming down from the high, of course, of the NBA Cup being over last night. Congratulations to the New York Knicks. I actually just saw a notification that they will not be raising a banner at MSG.
Really?
For winning the NBA
That's
Cup,
what I was
which
wondering.
Is a little disappointing. A little disappointing. And I saw you guys and the whole crew were in the house last night, by the way. So what an experience that must have been.
It was an experience for sure. I'm good on the Knicks. Good on the Knicks for not putting up a banner. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Good on them.
They said it after the game they were going to, though, right?
The Lakers immediately put theirs up. It's like, what are you doing? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Where does this rank up with Magic and Kareem? Like, really? You're putting up this banner?
It's definitely different if we're talking like the Memphis Grizzlies or something, right? Like, okay. But yeah, Knicks, Lakers,
Hey, there's only a couple NBA games tonight. Do you have a couple props for us?
Yeah, it's not exactly a... a fantastic slate here. We got Cavs, Bulls. We got Grizzlies, Timberwolves. You know, Evan Mobley out tonight still for Cleveland. They have a couple other bench players out. So I think there is an opportunity here for Jalen Tyson to continue to play well. One of those guys who's seemingly kind of come out of nowhere. He was a late first round pick in 2024, but he's been playing a ton of minutes for the Cavs, sometimes as a starter, sometimes off the bench. Kind of this do everything guy who could play multiple positions. So I'm looking at the over 6.5 rebounds tonight for Jalen Tyson. He's gone over this number in 4 of his last 6 games. Chicago, of course, a terrible defensive team, one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA, both in terms of total rebound percentage and just pure rebounds given up because they play at a fast pace. So with no Mobley out there, with Jared Allen playing limited minutes, give me Jalen Tyson over 6.5 rebounds. And then we have some big variables in Grizzlies, Timberwolves. Primarily, will Anthony Edwards play in this game? John Morant is also questionable. So I have some kind of contingencies here. If Edwards plays, over 5.5 rebounds at plus money is something I'm looking at. If he does not, I'm going to be jumping on Jaden McDaniels on the points, rebounds, assists.
Okay, to the National Football League. Let's go to a Saturday showdown between the Packers and the Bears. Packers are 1-point favorites. It's huge. It's a 9-4-1 Packers team. It's a 10-4 Bears team. This is for the lead in the NFC North. Heading into the final two games of the season, improbably the Bears are here, really having a Washington-like season from last year, if you will. It's almost like the Hail Mary deal from last year. The Hail Miriam play was like, okay, here's the deal. We win this game, but you guys get to have our season next year. What do you think about this ball game? Totals 46.5.
Yeah, I like that comp to Washington. You know, they're kind of doing it with different styles, but it does feel very similar. I like the Bears here, and I think a lot of people are going to be on Chicago. I was pretty surprised when this number opened, Green Bay 2.5. I know it's down to 1.5, but it just feels like the Bears are catching Green Bay at the right time. And obviously this is the second meeting now in 3 weeks, but I came out of that first game, you know, and that was after Chicago had beaten Philly. There were still some lingering questions of, okay, how real is this record versus the schedule that they played? And I know they lost at Lambeau Field, but that game came down to the final possession. I thought Chicago played better and better as that game went along. They were starting to figure things out in terms of that Green Bay defense. And now you're going to see a significantly worse version of that Packers defense. Not to mention this game is in Chicago. I really don't think we can overstate how important Micah Parsons is to what the Packers do defensively. And compounding that injury with the loss of Devontae Wyatt in the Thanksgiving game against Detroit, that is just a really, really difficult duo to overcome. Lucas Van Ness, who's kind of been the you know, the young guy in waiting, he's either not out there every week or he's just not effective. Rashawn Gary has been one of the least effective pass rushers in the NFL on a per snap basis. And as we saw in the Denver game, when Micah Parsons isn't out there or when he's not getting pressure, it puts a lot on that Green Bay secondary. And the Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine combination had about as bad of a game as they could possibly have in Denver. I don't know if Caleb Williams, without Roma Dunze, tests those cornerbacks quite as much, but I think this is yet another game where Chicago establishes the run. They control time of possession. They're ripping off those 10, 11, 12 play drives, and they're able to win this game at home.
I agree with you completely about Micah Parsons and, the Packers. That as I've said this week, that's their superpower. You know, the Bears' superpower, though, I just want to point this out, separate from your play here. The Bears are plus 20 in turnover differential. Plus 20. Now, the record is a 1983 Washington Redskins who had an insane plus 43, a record that will never be broken ever again.
That's unreal.
That's wild.
It was, yeah. If you lived through it, it was an incredible thing because it was like plus four every week. It was just amazing. They never turned it over and they just steadily took the ball away. But the Bears at plus 20 is pretty unbelievable also. And I really do believe this will be a major narrative over the offseason. People fading the Bears, they'll be like, there's no chance in the world they're going to be plus 20. But just to give a little snapshot of how much turnovers mean in the sport of football and in the NFL specifically, here are the top turnover differentials in the league. And you will notice a pattern with all these teams. Bears plus 20, Texans plus 14, Steelers plus 10, Jags plus 10, Lions plus 9, Rams plus 9, Bucks plus 9. Eagles plus 4, Packers plus 3. You have to get, so what's that? That's 9 deep. Only the Lions of those teams are on the outside looking in. You have to get to the Falcons at plus 2 before you get to a team in plus territory that is not going to the postseason.
That's only 2. Wow.
What's interesting,
turnovers are important.
Well, it is, and what I mean to say about that is from a handicapping standpoint, when we are watching the games week after week, our brains do not necessarily have that information seep into it. And then when you look at something like that, you realize, oh, much of this is perhaps not sustainable, right? So, hey, well, the Bears have done it for 15 weeks in a row. Right, but would it be that shocking if then they had one game where it didn't happen, right? So how good are they really kind of thing is an interesting thing. What about the Steelers and Lions, two teams I just mentioned in that list? Lions favored by 7. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I like Detroit here, especially if you can catch the 6.5s that may still be hanging out there. I think this number is going to continue to move in favor of the Lions. You know, maybe the Steelers earn back some respect, you know, with how they won that game against Miami. Still took them a full half to really get going. And, you know, actually, you know, Miami's showed some improvement defensively. I think we saw as that game went along that maybe some of that was more about the opponents that they faced over the last month. And, you know, Detroit is still playing for something. You know, they're still trying to make up ground, still trying to be a wild card team in the NFC. You got a Steelers defense that, yes, was able to slow down Tua, who is now benched, but gave up almost 500 combined rushing yards to Buffalo and Baltimore over the previous two games. So I think this is a big bounce back spot for Jahmyr Gibbs. And if the Lions are scoring 30 plus, I don't really trust Pittsburgh to keep up.
Yeah.
This is another one of those games where it's all one way traffic. It's all about the Lions from folks. The market is showing that as well. And I happen to agree with that.
Yeah, Nick, I hope you win a lot of money this weekend because we are aligned on a few of these.
Nick, happy holidays.
All right, there we go, guys.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Nick Whalen.
Thank you, guys.
Nick Whalen, everybody, from RotoWire. At Whalen, just substitute the letter L for the 1.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Gil Alexander, alongside Kelly Bidlin, everybody. To my left, to your right. We have a tweet here from Brad Magnus, Kelly. He says, hope the NBA Cup Final was a blast. It was. I must say I lost a little respect for Kelly Bidlin because of him doing the 6-7. On another note, can Mike McDonald be Coach of the Year favorite after tomorrow night with a W? I don't know if he can be the favorite, but tell me that he's not in, that he's not out, you know, not in this.
Oh, we're live, baby. We're live.
I think we're live.
I'm very torn on this game tomorrow night from that standpoint because I've got Stafford MVP, but Mike McDonald Coach of the Year.
Oh, that's right.
That are about equal payouts because I've got more money invested in the McDonald bets.
Kelly's rooting for a tie. Grayson Rossi.
I think that might be worst case scenario, actually.
Actually, I think you're right. Grayson Rossi, as a Jags fan, happy to see them winning. But are we going to completely ignore? Oh, I like this tweet. Are we going to completely ignore he's been lights out against the Raiders, Cardinals, Titans, Jets, and Colts? I'm with you, man. They crush bad teams. Against the Chargers, he threw for 153 yards and 158 against Houston. Are we watching the same games? I don't know who he's responding to. He's not responding to us. I think he's responding. I think it's listener on listener crime.
Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, he's responding to Lance Schaefer on Twitter.
Trevor Lawrence or Jalen Hurts?
Ooh. Jalen.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, where are you? I thought these were all Tua comparisons.
Oh, no,
you're
no.
Just, now you're just throwing out random quarterbacks?
That's what I did confuse you earlier. Jalen Hurts or Brock Purdy? That's what I had originally asked you. I think you thought I was going Tua. Sorry. I'm going randoms here. Jalen Brock's a good one, right?
It is a good one. I don't like Jalen Hurts as a quarterback, but it's hard to argue with what he's done.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Yes.
Right? And he's, again, he's probably one Super Bowl win away from being in the Hall of Fame. I hate to say it. That's how it usually works.
I think there's some things this year. I mean, you talk to a lot of Eagles fans, right? You get some of the frustrations, too, of, like, it's run more, take off more. Like, he seems very set in his ways in the system, and I think that gets frustrating. And you've brought up the attitude before, which
is a nonchalant attitude. Oh, I am not he would be, to me, one that theory buster, though. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of getting back to what that guy was saying on Twitter. You don't have me on the Stafford thing, but you would have me on the Hurts thing, because it's like, I don't think he's any good. And that would be a retroactive thing. Like to me, he's not a Hall of Famer, even if he wins two at this point. But I will say this, right? His superpower is that in the clutch, he's really been good. If that goes away, what is he exactly? Mm. And we've seen a couple of those games this year. This is from Jason H11. Hey, Gil, I've got two extra tickets to the Commies game Saturday. Luxury box passes for the field for pregame. You and Kelly are welcome. Yeah, no, I'm going to be at a wedding. I don't know if you've heard.
I'll be driving somewhere in the state of Florida.
Okay, odds to have the fewest win in the regular season, odds to have the most wins in the regular season. Let's do this real quick. Heat check on this. Odds to have the fewest wins. Raiders, Titans, and Giants are all 2-12. Jets, Browns, and Cardinals are all 3-11. Do I have the number of games correct? I believe I do.
So I was going with wins.
What's that?
So that's why I was going with wins.
Oh, no. So again, this is for fewest wins. And what you see here is, yeah, I was right. 2-12 for the first three, 3-11 for the bottom three. This is one of these where I don't think the Jets, Browns, and Cardinals have a chance. Remember, dead heats are in play here for this
stuff.
Yeah. So the Jets, if you must take one of the 3-11s.
I think they're by far the most interesting, but you almost have to plan on getting dead heated.
That's the thing. The Jets are at New Orleans, home New England, at Buffalo. So it's very, very likely that they lose out. If you believe they lose to New Orleans, they're going to lose out. Okay, you still end up 3-14 at that point. But the Raiders, Titans, and Giants, with a game ahead, in quotes, if you will, at 2-12, the issue here is that the Titans are home Kansas City. Some people think they're going to win that game this week. Home New Orleans at Jacksonville. The Giants and Raiders, remember, play each other
right at
Las Vegas next week. So the Giants, it's home Minnesota, at Las Vegas, home Dallas. Raiders is at Houston, home Giants, home Kansas City. My whole thing on this, and I'll just blanket this with one statement, I don't even care about the schedules. I just think the Raiders are so bad, they're not beating anybody anymore, period. They're the winner, and they're the short shot, and it's not a sexy play, but I think plus 135 is the right
one. Okay, so agree with you. Most likely, Raiders to end up with the fewest. I think the Jets was the number that I got attracted to the quickest. Here's my grand statement on this. If you are at a shop that's dead heating,
don't play it.
You cannot bet this right now.
It's not fun.
I mean, you might get chopped four ways. And if you're betting like a plus 135 or something like that, that is not going to be good.
It's not fun. Most wins is a little more fun. Again, just looking at different markets. The Broncos are sitting atop the fray. They're 12-2. They're the only 12-2 team in football. The Rams, Seahawks, and Patriots are all 11-3. The Jags, Bills, Niners, and Chargers are all 10-4. By the way, the Bears are also 10-4, not pictured, but we want to just say that just to be thorough. And that's the group of nine teams that are between 12-2 and 10-4. But you see that there's a massive drop off after the 11-3s, right? So Broncos 12-2, Rams, Seahawks, Patriots, all 11-3. They're all single digits. Jags are 45-1. Jags and Bills are 45-1 because they're two games behind the Broncos right now. I will say the same thing I have said about this market from the very beginning. We've done this almost every week. I still think the Patriots are the bet. And now even after the Bills lose, the Patriots at 6-1. Mm-hmm. If you are forced to bet anything here, they are at Baltimore, home Jets, home Miami. If you think they beat Baltimore this week, then Pat's going 14-3.
Which I do.
Which I don't know, but they very well might, right? So I still think, and I've said this every week about the Patriots, I still think they end up with the most wins. Now, the Broncos, who have a game in hand, they are home Jacksonville at Kansas City, which doesn't look as hard now.
Yeah.
Home Chargers. But home Jacksonville, home Chargers, even if they, you know, they split that.
Totally.
I just, again, are we looking at a dead heat? We probably are. And then the Rams Seahawks winner, right? The loser of Rams Seahawks, kind of forget, you know, kind of forget about it. But the Rams Seahawks winner, the Rams have at Atlanta, home Arizona after that game. Seattle has at Carolina, at San Francisco. So the Rams actually have it super. If the Rams beat the Seahawks, they're also going to be dead heating with the Broncos, probably.
If you like the Rams tomorrow night.
Yes.
I don't think this is a bad bet.
No, I don't either.
I also think there is
But I think if you like the Patriots against the Ravens, that's also a good bet.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're less likely, or there's going to be less teams you'd get dead heated by in this one, right?
To me, in my opinion. To me, it's Broncos, Rams, Patriots. I still think the Patriots are the best bet, 6-1.
I couldn't believe, man. You're right, though. Every time we talk about this, it's like you're forced. I'm forced to look into the Patriots harder because I can't believe they got longer odds than the Seahawks. I'm a little surprised they're not shorter than Seattle. And then I can't believe there's that big of a gap.
Well, because the problem is that those teams that are two back of the Broncos, I mean, unless you think the Broncos are going 0-3, the best you're doing is a dead heat, and I don't think you're getting there. I mean,
those remaining
schedules of those 10-4 teams, the easiest one belongs to the Bills. Like, the Niners and Chargers have top six hardest remaining schedules. The Bills have at Cleveland, home Philly, at Jets. So the Bills definitely still in the Bills. Bills and Patriots both have super easy schedules, and that will determine the AFC East. Patriots in the driver's seat, though, obviously.
I like that there is a possibility that the Chicago Bears win this. I freaked out.
By the way, are 120-1.
You started reading these odds. I was like, I must have missed the Bears. Like, I must have screwed up this.
They're
graphic.
The only other. Yeah, they're the one team you eliminated from the graphic.
Yeah, you
that
will
wasn't
find the
me, Bears fans.
You will find the Bears in triple digits for this. 120-1.
Well, also because they play Green Bay at San Francisco and home Detroit. Mm-hmm. That last game against Detroit could be for a playoff spot. Bears versus Lions.
And I will be rooting for the Lions.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Okay.
Gil can't shut up about this Bears to miss the playoffs ticket.
What? What are you talking about? Coach of the year. Okay, you know how I said earlier, I think we're going to get a surprise? I think we're going to get a category where the winner has nothing to do with the betting market, and we've missed the boat completely on this. I think it's this one. And someone mentioned this on Twitter the other day. I just want to say this. I'm no fan of Sean Payton, the human being. Not really that big of a fan of him as the coach because I think he's overrated as a coach. He's only won one Super Bowl. They talk about him like he's Joe Jackson Gibbs, for God's sakes. But if the Broncos go 15-2, does he have to do to win Coach of the Year? It's a great point.
Yeah, it's completely fair. That's
and he's 10-1. Like, if you're 15-2, you don't think a bunch of those voters are just going to say he's 15-2, he's the Coach of the Year.
Oh, I think that could happen. Yes. Completely.
Criteria schmiteria in terms of what your expectations are and were you good last year or whatever. But like, at some point, you're too good to fail on this, right?
Oh, I mean, 10-1, dude, he was way longer. Like 2 weeks ago, what was Sean Payton's number? Like 50-1?
I'm saying
he wasn't even in this conversation.
Not that I think they're getting to 15-2, by the way. I just need to point that out. But if they do, 10-1 seems live-ish. But
this is wide open.
Vrabel could win it. Cohen could win it. McDonald can win it.
Yes.
Johnson can win it. Shanahan can win it. Payton can win it. McVay can win it. D'Amico can win it. Come on.